Welcome to the Just Believe Show. I'm your host, Irving Mack. The show is dedicated to raising mental health awareness and preventing suicide. If you ever need any help or resources, check the show notes. And remember, I got you. If you enjoyed the conversation, please leave a review. We're stronger together and can overcome any obstacle that life presents. With that being said, enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Just Believe Show. I'm your host, Irving Mack. Today's episode, it's a topic that I haven't really dealt with. You know, you guys know I do mental health suicide prevention. And being that it's Domestic Violence Month, I decided to reach out to, I consider her a good friend, Enjoy Larkin. She's my first returning guest, and she deals with narcissism. This conversation that we had, I hope you guys enjoy. She's not only a coach, but she's a two-time author. It's crazy. I had her on 2 years ago. In 2 years, she wrote two books. So your boy got to step his game up. The first book that she wrote is called Narcissism. The first book that she wrote is called Reclaim Your Life Back, My Journey into Understanding Narcissism. It's just pretty much her life experience that she learned dealing with being, unfortunately, being abused by someone who is who's narcissistic, not even just someone, but multiple people. And now she turned her lived experience into a guide to help others. That book came out essentially, 2 years ago, after I interviewed her the first time. And this next book that she came out with actually just came out in July. And this book is pretty much mental health based. It's a guide to help you understand your emotions, but also on a spiritual level. And this book is called Your Pain Will Make You Successful. And as we know, when it comes to success, it's different for everyone. I really enjoyed how she broke it down, and she pretty much said this is more geared towards learning who you are, learning how to control those emotions, learning how to be at peace with your past, but also embrace your future. Man, this episode was so fun. I found so much joy in learning from others. And I'm pun intended when I say joy. And I don't mean fun in the sense of ha, 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 he, he, but just really seeing someone who's passionate about her craft and passionate about helping others. Man, that is what I'm all about. That's why I try to go as hard as I can when it comes to booking guests or when I'm doing solo episodes, to make sure I have the knowledge and the research to show you guys, like, man, putting in this incredible work. So with that being said, enjoy the episode. I'm going to have all her website, her books, and her social media all in the descriptions if I can get my words out. But as you can see, I'm getting very passionate. With that being said, please enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Just Believe Show. Today I have someone special that is my first returning guest.
Wow, that's such an honor.
Yes, this is a topic that I've been getting DMs about, especially it being Domestic Violence Month. And people are like, look, I'm in a situation where I think I'm dealing with someone that's a narcissist and I want to get out. And as much as I can help, my lane is like suicide and mental health. I always lean on the experts to, one, to educate me and then educate y'all, but to show, hey, there's people out here that know what they're talking about, that live their experience, that I look up to, that I admire, that's doing the work, and that is Joy Larkin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Hervey? Long time.
Yes. I'm doing good. Thank you for doing this. I know for me, just on the outside perspective, I was just like, man, I'm always about giving people their flowers, and I've been knowing you for years now. Man, heck, it's already a year. That the work that you're doing is incredible, and you show up all the time, whether it's on IG, LinkedIn, YouTube, even in your Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. And you are someone that I truly like admire.
Thank you so much.
I want to be consistent as that, because wearing so many hats, coach, content creator, business entrepreneur, and all that it can get overwhelming. So
yes, it can.
No, I want to give you your flowers now.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yes. Not only are you a coach, you are an author, which I am.
Yes, I am. You're so funny.
Which is fabulous. The last time you and I spoke was about like 2 years ago.
Yes.
And you was like, man, I'm working on my book. And mm-hmm. now I'm like, man, it shows what you can do within a year, let alone two. And you wrote two different types of books. One is like really... One is actually, let's talk about your first book first.
Yes.
Because I'm just going to talk about it, but you actually wrote it. Let's get into
yes.
that.
Yes. No, I wrote a book called Reclaim Your Life Back, My Journey into Understanding Narcissism. It was really inspired because of me having to deal with people that had NPD, narcissism. And it was just something that I felt that I needed to share with other people because I had helped other people that were dealing with narcissists, and they came to me for advice. They came for me, the needing clarity, guidance. And so I felt that, okay, the questions that I had got asked, I was like, let me put this in a book. So that way, let's say if I'm not able to talk to them right then and there, they could get that clarity, right? They could get that guidance, that confirmation that they needed without me really having to be there or supporting them in that way. But yeah, also, I just felt that what I had gone through was very... It was hurtful. It impacted me in a way where I felt like my life changed forever. And I said, yeah, I should share this with someone. This might could help somebody. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I went on ahead and wrote it. It was different reactions I got from people. I know it's going to sound weird, but when I wrote it, a lot of people, I guess they just didn't take it well, I guess. They were really, some people like supported it. Other people were just like, oh, who does she think she is? Like type of thing. And but I really didn't worry about that. I just knew that there was a story that I had inside of me that needed to be shared. And so that's why I wrote that.
Good. It's a resource for others. No, but yeah. It is. It's a resource for others, but it's also
correct.
Something for you to heal.
Correct.
Okay. This mm-hmm. is a journey that I've been on. This is how I'm so knowledgeable. Whereas, hey, these are the signs. These are the things. These are my experience. And this is what helped me be the woman that I am today. And mm-hmm. let's just touch on book number two before I start asking some
yes.
other questions.
Yeah, so I actually have book number two because this one's a little bit newer. I released this one in July of this year. It's called Your Pain Will Make You Successful. This is the back cover. But this was a little bit more geared towards like mental health, also dealing with just like a mental, emotional, and psychological pain. And also just helping the average person like figure things out. A lot of people are lost in life. They, like I said, they need guidance. They need support. They need a sense of direction. And this, I feel, is really helpful, especially because a lot of people are not told to express their emotions. They're told to keep everything in and just keep going and pretend like it didn't happen. And this is what this book is for. It's very good motivational empowerment type of book. And also, this is a good book, especially for those that are searching for like a sense of They want to get connected to God. Like maybe they don't know who God is, but they feel like they're being called to do something with their life. They're searching for more. Maybe they're working somewhere and they hate it. You know what I'm saying? They've been there for years, but they're like, I want to do something else with my life. That's what this book is for, to get you on that right path. Right. Yeah.
If you can discuss what led you down this path, I should say.
Yeah. So what led me was really, I guess, the whole journey of me being a narcissist abuse coach was my experience dealing with those that had NPD. So like my aunt, for instance, I know we probably mentioned this maybe 2 years ago when we did the podcast before, but just as a refresher, my aunt, me living with her for 5 years, like I said, things were okay in the beginning. I felt, oh, I'm a spoiled teenager here. I'm getting everything that I want. I'm feeling welcomed. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm a part of the family. Everything is good. But then within 2 years, I felt that things were off. I couldn't do anything right. I wasn't allowed to be myself. I couldn't feel my feelings. I had to be a certain way in order to get loved or acceptance and approved. So essentially me having an aunt that I lived with for 5 years, she was a narcissist. I found out after the fact. That kind of led me on the path. And then also while living with my aunt, I started dating a male. He actually was an entrepreneur too. So I think that was another reason why I took, not really say interest per se, but I was just motivated because I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to help people in a way where I didn't have to really be connected to a job per se, or like a boss, if that makes sense. I wanted to be able to be free to create and do what I enjoy doing. You get what I'm saying? And so he was like that image for me to a certain degree, but we connected with each other. It was pretty much based off of music. We were both music fans. A lot of people are, right? So anyways, long story short, we were doing business and then we started to date. And then I want to say 4 years, we were like off and on.
And he ended up being a narcissist himself. And like I said, I found out after the fact, right? And then the final person that kind of led me on this path was a guy that I started working with. He was BPD, which is he had borderline personality disorder. And me dealing with him for those 4 months led me to realize, okay, yeah, I deserve better. I want more for myself. And the other part too, Herbie, was that I felt very lost. I felt lonely. I felt isolated. I felt ashamed, embarrassed. And I found myself having an outlet of YouTube, being able to share my story, feeling very nervous, being very afraid of what people would think. But then I thought, dang, what if somebody else is dealing with this? And so that's what led me on this path.
Oh, you are a superhero. No
what? Thank you.
So for some people, they don't understand when you turn on that computer, whatever social media platform you use, and you start sharing your story, it is nerve-wracking. You get nervous, not in a sense of people are going to judge you, but for myself, I'm going to speak for myself. I got nervous because of the story that I'm telling. It's not going to look like a superhero, right?
Correct. They
get deemed as, oh, you're the villain. And it's not necessarily the villain. This is how I feel. These are my emotions. Mm-hmm. And maybe it might be a awakening for whoever is that villain to, man, let me dial it back. What is it about me or my attitude towards this person that I am treating like this? What can I do to be a better person? Give them some sort of self-awareness. So,
correct.
I get it. And one of my things is like to put it in the book is also another like brave thing, because you have to relive that trauma and you have to articulate it in a way where others can digest it. Some situations may be more violent or more not approve of, oh man, this is like a Disney movie. No.
This is reality for some.
But it's also taking that and realizing my pain is going to help someone out that's currently in that situation. So I definitely applaud you for that. And
thank you. I appreciate you.
And so for those who don't know, what are the signs of someone who are probably dealing with someone that's narcissistic or that might be in a relationship that's common?
Yeah. So I guess the signs that I noticed, like with like my aunt and the male narc that I was dealing with, there was definitely a lack of empathy. There was a lack of love, a lack of appreciation, a lack of being able to relate to me. They can't feel their emotions and their feelings. They don't, it's not there. And if they do have certain feelings, they try to push them away. Like, no, I don't want to feel that. And you shouldn't feel that either. You get what I'm saying? They're also very hypersensitive to criticism, because like us normal people, yeah, we understand that there's good feedback. And then maybe there's just like constructive criticism, like maybe some things we can improve on, but we can take it in, accept it and be like, okay, maybe I need to work on myself, whatever. But like when you're dealing with a narcissist, it's no, they don't want to hear none of the negativity. So that's how they're unable to improve and to develop themselves as an individual, because obviously you need to hear certain things in order for you to be like, okay, let me go ahead and work on this so that way I can keep growing on my journey. You know what I'm saying? And the other thing is that they really exploit people, unfortunately, for their own personal gain. And the other part about it is us normal people, we have a conscience. But with a narcissist, a lot of times, like, they just don't care. Like, they don't care how you feel. They don't care, like, how what they said hurt your feelings. They don't care that they embarrassed you or they put you down or that they're belittling you. They don't care. It's all about them. It's the focus and the attention. It has to be on them 24/7. It's almost like you become an emotional punching bag to this individual. Mm-hmm. And then they're taking advantage of you, whether that's mentally, emotionally, sexually, financially, that sort of thing. And then they just have this sense of entitlement. They're like, oh, I deserve to have this from you, or you deserve to treat me like a princess or a king, which, yeah, we all deserve to be treated nice. But they just assume just because you're talking to them that they have a sense of entitlement. Like they feel like they have to control you. Like they're all about control. They're very jealous, envious people. They're, like I said, they're always looking down. So they feel that other people are inferior to them, type of thing. So I know that's a lot.
No, it's not a lot. It's just certain things. I guess from like the outside looking in, I think about and I look at, man, I guess you could say red flags. And I look at certain things when I was single and mingling and all that. There's certain standards that like, hey, can I have a conversation with you? Are you empathetic? Right. Do you understand that sometimes I may need my space? Not saying that it's anything against you, But just as mm-hmm. people, we need a moment to ourselves to recharge, to regroup, to do things. But to mm-hmm. have someone that you date and you're like, man, this is a phenomenal relationship. And mm-hmm. the next thing they start taking what makes you happy and mm-hmm. adding whatever makes them happy. Hey, I know you enjoy going out for long walks on the beach or whatever, but what we're going to do is mm-hmm. home and we're mm-hmm. going to watch this, or you're going to do this, we're going to do that. So that's something that I think about, man. What relationship am I getting into? And it's honestly, it's hard nowadays because everybody's so open to say, hey, this is perfect. We all mm-hmm. have flaws. We all have like things that people may not like about us, or things that we may not like about ourselves that we hide from others. And then you start dating someone, you start exposing. Sir. It's just precautions. Like, what precautions should someone take for jumping into a relationship that this person and potentially a narcissist?
Yeah, I would say definitely take your time, get to know the person, ask them questions. Hopefully they don't lie, because sometimes if you ask a person questions, they can make up stories and just trying to brush it off or give you a whatever type of answer. The other thing is watching their patterns, right? Whatever they're doing consistently, you want to listen to that instead of what they're saying. So whatever it is that they're doing, listen to that versus what they're saying. You want to do that. And then what else? Some things to look out for. Just signs of being insecure, maybe signs of being controlling, or signs of wanting, maybe see, do they want to be in a committed relationship? Do they want to commit to you? Or are they have signs of like maybe cheating, or signs of lying, or signs of just being, like you mentioned, domestic violence month. So do they hit you? Do they raise their voice? Do they like have that loud sort of tone, that sort of thing? Do they trust you? What were their previous relationships? Do they talk down on their ex all the time? Try to make them look bad type of thing. Yeah, just like their character. Who are they on the inside? Do they treat other people good? You know what I'm saying? Because if they don't treat other people good, they're not going to treat you good either. Just somebody, let's say you go out on a date with someone and they're rude to the waitress or the waiter. They're going to be rude to you too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or they like have a spaz out on someone else, or maybe they're driving in the car and there's like a road rage kind of thing going on. So they're going to be doing that to you too, but in a different way.
Don't judge me. So what I used to do, it's never a good sentence to start.
Because it happens. I get it. It happens. No. But as long as it's not consistent.
Well, no, I was going to say, what I used to do was when I was single, like I used to look at certain people's social media, right? Oh, hey, I'm into this girl. Let me check her social media, because people are going to post their emotions on how they felt, right? Like mm-hmm. whether it's Instagram, IG, whether it's Instagram, IG, Facebook, or whatever. Like I used to just, or Twitter, or X, mm-hmm. I guess now. I used to just watch like what they post or how they post. Oh, like, yes, just to get a feel of, mm-hmm. okay, is this someone, especially like on like Twitter, like people just are savages. But
yeah,
see, like they're okay. This is their personality. This is how they think. This is their thought process. Because if mm-hmm. when you go on that first date, everyone seems like Prince Charming, or she may seem
right.
Like, oh man, she's a princess. She's amazing. Everybody puts the best foot forward. But
correct.
When you look at their social media, it's like checking their Carfax, right? Like,
yes,
you get to see
correct.
The behavior patterns and see what they post, what they like, get mm-hmm. a overall adjustment, overall mm-hmm. view of them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I used to do. And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then obviously the more and more you go out, the more and more you see mm-hmm. some of their personality. You see what you like or what you don't like. If they were mm-hmm. dating, is worth calling my girlfriend? Is he worth calling my boyfriend? So it's something mm-hmm. like that. Whereas, you take your time and mm-hmm. slowly get to
know. I like that you said, like definitely check out their social media, see what they're posting. Like you said, to get a feel of who they are, how they think, their mindset. Maybe it could even be like their beliefs, their values, their traditions and stuff like that. But I know the flip side, though, I did have a person that he would come to me for advice because he was interested in different women. And he said, he would look on their social media. But the thing is that was confusing, that he would see them posting one thing, but then they would treat him another way. So it's whatever they posted on social media really didn't match like who they were. So I guess you just want to be careful on that in that case. But it just takes time mm-hmm. getting to know that person, ask them questions. And like I said, just watch what they do instead of watching what they say, if that makes sense.
Hey, I saw you post pictures of getting out turkeys or whatever. And the next thing you know, I'm throwing ones at the strip club, bro. Like,
Which
one are you? I understand you want to donate, but are you donating?
Correct. Correct. That's funny.
But it's It is very challenging. We live in a society where it's microwave. We all want success. We all want the Jay-Z and Beyonce type of relationship, right? Oh, my goodness, that amazing thing. But then it also shows that even if you do want this, and you want to be in a relationship, you should take care of yourself first and foremost.
Correct.
Understand who you are, what you believe in, have your value and your standards of, hey, this is what I'm willing to accept. This is what I'm not willing to accept. If that person's not willing to meet you halfway, guess what? We're moving.
Gotta let them go.
Gotta let them go. And it's a saying that I always say, I love you, but I love me more. Keep on moving. When it comes to that, because now you've been doing this coaching thing for a while.
Yes.
And which is like amazing.
Thank you.
About some of the success that you had, some of your successful stories.
Yes. So I've had quite a few people that I've been coaching and have coached even now where they've seen great success, meaning so they have been able to recover from their abusive relationship, dealing with the narcissist. They've moved past it. They've been successful like in their own personal life, in their business life. Other people that just are, they're at peace with not having the narcissist in their life anymore. So they're like, okay, you know what, Joy, you really helped me to change my mindset. You really helped me to feel secure about myself. You really helped me to gain confidence on I made the right decision. You get what I'm saying? And so a lot of that, and then like just even videos that I post, they're like, oh my God, this video helped me so much. They're like, sometimes I don't go on your lives, but just what you say, it makes my day. It helps me to feel better. I can go on about my life now. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't have regrets of them wanting to be with the narc. Yeah, they may miss them from time to time, but they understand, hey, this person is not the one. They're not good for me. You get what I'm saying? And yeah, a lot of those type of stories, it's definitely been, it's humbling. And it's just, wow, like I never knew that what I'd gone through was going to help other people. It's a good thing. Cause I know at first I was God, like, why did I have to suffer all this pain? You know what I'm saying? But I think God revealed to me, he was like, yeah, you're supposed to help other people. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Someone is currently in a relationship. What are some of the steps they can do to get out of this relationship so they can reclaim their power?
Yes, beautiful. I would say, for one, just recognizing like the relationship is not it. Like it's not the one. They have to really decide, okay, I gotta be independent of this individual now. So now I gotta fend for myself. I gotta maybe save up some funds, or maybe I gotta take on another gig so I can move out. I really have to, maybe some of the people may have to stand up to their narc, right? Whether it's their parent, could be an in-law, it could be a sibling or auntie or uncle. They may have to say, hey, this is my boundary. I don't appreciate you treating me this way. I don't appreciate you talking to me this way. And this is what it's going to be from now on type of thing. So they may have to confront them. Now others, maybe they don't have to do the confronting at that point. But for the most part, they just got to really assert themselves. The next part is that they got to get support. They got to reach out to a person like myself or a therapist, a coach, a counselor, whatever. And then they have to really start to do that inner healing, the inner work and stuff like that. And really just begin to educate themselves. They have to educate themselves. So it could be reading books. It could be journaling. It could be going to conferences, support groups, or just learning about what happened, learning about the personality disorder and learning about how to avoid that, learning about healthier relationships. You know what I'm saying? And just really beginning to focus on their own life, really. At this point, they have to begin to say, because the thing is, a lot of us, we get so focused on the narc. We really become so just like indulged and we just get swamped up into their world and we forget about ourselves. And so now we have to say, okay, wait, we got to back up a little bit, got to create some distance. I got to create a boundary. I have to create the limited to no contact. And now I got to bring the focus back on me. Meaning it could be hobbies, maybe it could be focusing on projects or career, maybe it could be the kids, because I know some people are in co-parenting situations with a narcissist, and I know that's something what they would need to do in that case. I have a lot of people that reach out to me in regards to that. So one of the things is I always say to the parent is make sure that you are being a role model for your child. You have to, you can't be vindictive and vengeful like how the narcissist is going to be, right? So the narcissist is going to be trying to turn the kids against you, talking down on you, belittling you in front of your child. And you can't do that to the child because that's going to traumatize them more than what they're already getting traumatized. So they really got to support the child, be there for them, maybe even educate them on the personality disorder. Not talking down on the partner, though, but just educating them if they're old enough, because some of them, they're still like little children, but just make sure they give that child as much love, as much care as needed. And still, they also, that parent cannot react, though. So they, like I said, they have to be mature. They have to begin to understand that this narcissist wants for them to act out. Because what's going to happen is when the normal parent acts out against the narc parent, then the narc is going to be like, oh, see, look, I told you it was that parent. I told you, see what I'm saying? So they have to remain in control of their emotions, their feelings, and just understand that this is how it has to be for now. But then they have to begin to figure out a way how they can, whether they want that other parent to be in the child's life, that's their decision. And some of them, they may have to share custody, right? They have to be able to parallel parent as much as they can with them being in full emotional control of themselves, and maybe even having to teach the child how to do the same thing. Because I always find that children, if they're old enough, they can know who's the good parent and who's not the good parent. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Energy don't lie. Don't lie. Don't.
And kids are smart. Yes. Kids are very smart. They know who's causing the trouble and the drama. They know.
Yes. No, that's great. You mentioned support. And
yes.
Even for a coach like you, I think it's, and I want to say thank you for mentioning this, that this is going to segue to the next question of what role does therapy and coaching can play for someone that can survive this type of abuse? And you crushed it about saying, hey, getting the proper support. And for yourself, I think what you do is phenomenal, because I know, like, you probably, hey, this is more than just narcissist abuse. This is trauma that I'm hearing. Maybe you navigate them to a therapist or a social worker, someone, a counselor, but that can help that mental side of it. And guess what? I'm going to take this side, and together we're going to pair this together. We're going to get you not only the support you need, but get you back to that confidence, to that healing, to that person that you was, or that person that you need to be, to become. So I think that is valuable in what you said. But before we get into that, this is a new segment that I've been doing. So it's five questions that I want to ask you. And this segment is called Beyond the Stigma. And question number one, what is the best advice that you receive about your mental health?
The best advice I received about my mental health is the best advice. I think the best advice has been like, it's going to be okay. It might be tough now. Like, I may be going through it now, but it's not going to be like that forever. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Question number two. What is the most heartwarming moment that you had with your client or patient? Let's say
client. Yeah, the most heartwarming, I would say when they basically let me know that what I was doing helped them greatly. They said, okay, Joy, I talked to you. You really helped me to feel better. I feel good after talking to you. And that makes me feel so good, because I'm like, oh my God. And it's just, it's such a rewarding feeling, like, to be able to help. And it's, I feel like I have a sense of a place in the world. Like, I'm here for a reason. You get what I'm saying? Like, I have my, I'm claiming my right in the world, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. All right. Question number three, how can we create more of a loving and supportive community regarding, like, our mental health?
I would just say just having the support groups, just having open dialogue and being there for one another. Like I said, no judging, no ridiculing, no talking down on each other, but just really just being there for one another, listening and just sharing, listening and just being there, just openness, having openness, and just showing that you care. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. What is the biggest challenge facing? I don't even want to say mental health. I just want to say, let's focus on the narc. What is the biggest challenge in the narc field, and how can we overcome it?
In the narc field, so you mean as far as dealing with narcissists, right?
What is the challenge? Like, not having these conversations, or have, like,
yeah, I would say, I think, yeah, I think a lot of people are just afraid to talk about their feelings, or they're afraid to talk about what they're going through, because I feel like some people feel like it could be, maybe they're afraid to share, like, what they're going through, because some people feel like it's weak, or they feel like, oh, I don't need to get help because of somebody that I dealt with. Like, I'll just move underneath the next person. I think just people just need to be okay with not being okay, but also being okay with talking to someone about it and not feeling ashamed or embarrassed about that. You know what I'm saying? Because I literally had one person that's, I'm not saying that she was afraid to talk to me. It was just, she was, I think it was due to the fact that she was actually living with her narc, but she was so fearful of getting on the phone with me, she ended up saying, let's just do a reading instead. So I was able to still help her, but it was like she was so, like, she had anxiety just thinking about what was going on. And I think it was going to bring up a lot of trauma for her. So I think that's, but just trying to move past that and just do it anyway, you know what I'm saying? Just push through that. So that way you can go to the other side where you need to go, where the healing's going to occur. You get what I'm saying?
Love it. I love it. Last but not least, how have social media or the internet have impact how we discuss and understand, let's say, yeah, narc, let's keep it on that.
How, I think there's a lot of awareness now, because I think that many people are knowing about the topic. People are starting to gain some understanding about it, and they're being, it's a lot of insight, right? There's a lot of information out there. So it's a good thing to be aware, right? It's a good thing to be aware. But now I think that people should probably take more heed, or just not just read it and just be like, oh, I know about it, but actually, not saying they had to go searching for it, but just being like, listen to the advice or listen to what people are saying, and not saying what everybody is saying is the right thing, because people can put anything out there, but it's just like really acknowledging it and just take heed and just being aware. And that's all I would say.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And this is like beyond the stigma, because I don't understand for someone that's not in that field or not in that or never experiencing one that is a narcissist. That like you're like, oh man, you talk about it. You're letting someone take control of you. It's more than that.
And not only that, but not being dismissive of it either, because some people are like, oh, that's never going to happen to me. I don't need to learn about that. It's, you never know. You know what I'm saying? Don't say that, because I know I would have never known that there was a such thing as a narcissist. Literally, I've never heard that when I was like in the middle school, high school. Like, no one ever taught me anything about that. And I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Oh, so, I think it, like, where I'm from, they never use that term. They just use controlling. Oh, that person's very controlling.
Okay, got you.
Like, oh, they're controlling. Just back away. Before we get into this, you already know the vibes. Before we go, let's talk about how can people find you. And then, let's talk about the books again.
Yes. So people can find me on my website, which is at www. They can also find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, all at LiveNarc. That's what it is on all of those platforms. And also, in regards to my book, so the first one that I wrote was called Reclaim Your Life Back. As we mentioned earlier, that one more so talks about my journey into understanding narcissism and everything that I went through and the advice and all the things that I tell my clients. Everything is in that. Like, it's a self-study guidebook on those that could be dealing with people that have narcissism, dating, relationships, and stuff like that, right? Now, this book right here, Your Pain Will Make You Successful, this is a newer one. This was more so a part two to that, but it dives deep, like I said, into the mental, the emotional, and the psychological pain that a lot of us that we could be dealing with. And I felt that this was going to be a good one, because I know that we all deal with pain, right? Whether we know it or not. It doesn't really go anywhere per se, but there's ways that we can cope. There's ways that we can manage. There's ways that we can begin to endure it without letting it overtake us and just keeping us stuck in the past. There's ways that we can improve ourselves in the present and in the future. And then also too, it was more so like my connection with God was really what helped me cope with my pain. And I wanted to share that with a lot of people, because I know the people that I do come in contact with, they don't really have a relationship with God. And I noticed that when I had a relationship with God, how much my life started to improve. And I wanted to make sure that I shared that with people, that it could benefit and that it could help greatly. And also, like I said, I also just talk about finding your life purpose, because like I said, I feel like a lot of people are lost. A lot of people are lost. They lack ambition. They could lack knowledge. They could lack direction. And they're just out here in the world. And this, like I said, is a very good inspiration, motivational, shocking, and a surprising book, I must say. It's surprising, because a lot of people, when they look at me, they're like, Joy, you didn't go through that. You didn't deal with that. Like, literally,
it's not way too much.
No, they're like, there's no way. And I'm like, yeah, there is a way. So that's what this book is about. I highly recommend getting this one and the first one that I did. So
thank you. Thank you for that. No, I appreciate it. No, I appreciate that. Do you have any words before we go?
Well, Hervey, it was definitely a pleasure being on your show again. Thank you so much. It was great catching up with you. But I would just say to those watching and listening, don't give up on yourself. Love yourself. It's always light at the end of the tunnel. God loves you. I love you. And it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Love it. That being said, catch you out next time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Just Believe Show. Together, we can raise mental health awareness and prevent suicide one step at a time. If you're currently struggling, you're not alone. I provided some resources in the show notes, so check them out. To learn more about my mission, or if you want to inquire me at Job Becoming an Event, please visit HerbieMack.com. Stay connected with me on social media. It's in the show notes. You get a glimpse behind the scene content, some uplifting content as well, and ways to support your well-being. Always stay true to yourself. Embrace the power of hope. Remember, you can make a positive impact. That being said, take care, stay strong, peace.